You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. Of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you. You had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville. We
love it. Good day, Tokers and Trump Cats, and welcome to the show. It is Wednesday, November 13th, 2013, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. We are back here at Rolla J Studios in Potland, Oregon, and it's really good to be home. We're continuing our look this week at Child Protective Services and its interface with marijuana-using parents. We've got two great guests on the show today, experts in this from two different points of view. Coming up at half past, we're going to be speaking with Charmy Golson. She's with Michigan Moms United to End the War on Drugs. She was working with that baby Bree case out there in Michigan where medical marijuana using patients were having their kid taken away because of their use of medical marijuana. We're going to catch up with her on the state of Michigan's laws and court decisions and what the Michigan moms are doing to fight for the parental rights of legal medical marijuana users in the state of Michigan. And that's going to be a special extended interview from half past all the way to the end of the hour. Then, coming up in hour two, Toker Talk Radio, another special interview. We're going to be speaking with Lisa Calvin. She's a former school teacher who was forced into retirement for her activism. You know her in our chat room as Lively Libra, the host of the Libra Lounge. We're going to talk to her about the interface between teachers and Child Protective Services, some of the laws that affect teachers and how they are forced to have to report some of these things with regard to marijuana and how that's usually backfired. So we'll talk to her at 4 o'clock, and that again will be an extended interview as well. Also on today's show, we've got our 420 radio news, all sorts of great headlines coming out of the NAACP backing marijuana legalization again, Denver Council on their point of view on public marijuana consumption. We're going to talk about medical marijuana in Iowa and in Michigan. And we've got a story about the recreational marijuana stores and when they'll be opening up in Washington State. Then we'll go behind the headlines. We're going to take a look at the most recent poll to come out about marijuana use and employment. This is some blockbuster information. And we'll also have our daily Toker tunes. Irie Wednesday today, Gordon Green's bringing us a great tune from Peter Tosh. So stay tuned. It's Hemp Day Hump Day. We'll be right back here on the Russ Belville Show.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
It's simply business. It's simply business, you know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business. It's simply business, you know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business.
Cannabis Outreach Collective is an alternative health and wellness option located in Gladstone, Oregon, that serves patients in the Portland area and beyond. We are a full-service alternative health and wellness collective accommodating patients with natural, organic, holistic, and homeopathic remedies nutritional guidance, advice, education, and medical cannabis fully in accordance with Oregon OMMP law. You can find out more about Cannabis Outreach Collective on Facebook at COC503 or by emailing cannabisoutreachcollective503@gmail.com or by telephone at 503-853-1319. Check out our menu on Weed Maps and visit Cannabis Outreach Collective today.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you don't just want any attorney. You want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Lauren Vasquez knows the details of California marijuana law from both a personal and professional angle. Lauren Vasquez rose from the ranks of college normal activist to become one of the Bay Area's best marijuana lawyers. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your Fired Up Lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com. The number again is 855-MMJ-LAWS, 855-665-5297 for your Fired Up Lawyer, Lauren Vasquez. Lauren Vasquez is an activist attorney you can trust. Call today.
This is your 420 Radio News for Wednesday, November 13th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. NAACP backed marijuana federalism from Forbes.com. The National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, or NAACP, recently endorsed a bill that would make the federal ban on marijuana inapplicable to people who grow, possess, or distribute cannabis in compliance with state law. H.R. 1523, the Respect State Marijuana Laws Act of 2013, would essentially repeal or at least limit federal pot prohibition in the 21 states that allow medical or recreational use of the drug. So far, the bill, which was introduced by Representative Dana Rohrabacher, Republican of California, has 20 co-sponsors, including five more Republicans, Justin Amash of Michigan, Dan Beneschek of Michigan, Don Young of Alaska, Duncan Hunter of California, and Steve Stockman of Texas. The NAACP, which in recent years has highlighted the racially disproportionate impact of marijuana prohibition and condemned the war on drugs, last year supported the successful legalization initiatives in Colorado and Washington. Denver Council's new bill on marijuana smoking says front yards are okay, from DenverPost.com. Denver residents would be allowed to smoke marijuana on their properties, even their front lawns, under a new set of rules given preliminary approval Tuesday. Denver City Council has been grappling with how to define open and public consumption, finally reaching agreement on where people can legally consume the drug that in January will be sold to adults in retail stores. The upshot? Consumption is illegal everywhere unless on private property that you own, lease, or rent, or have been given approval to consume by the owner. The bill also would ban display or distribution of marijuana on the 16th Street Mall or streets around it and in city parks. And it would make any violation of the law non-criminal, setting the penalties at $150 for the first offense, $500 for the second offense, and $999 for three or more violations. Panel discusses medical marijuana options for Iowa, from the WCFCourier.com. Whether medical marijuana is right for Iowa was the topic of a public forum held at the Waterloo Public Library by Cedar Valley Citizens for Undoing Racism. A crowd of more than 50 people gathered to hear panelist Ronald Florey, a retired family doctor, Chris Hoffman, executive director of Pathways Behavioral Sciences, Inc., and William Downs, a professor of social work at the University of Northern Iowa. All on the panel agreed that if medical marijuana were made legal, it should be treated like any prescription drug, obtained through a doctor's consent. Democrat Senator Bill Dotzler of Waterloo rose from the back of the room to voice his support behind legalization for medical marijuana use. But he said with the current split party makeup in the statehouse, that's unlikely to happen.
Last year, he supported a medical marijuana bill after his friend, who died of cancer, found some relief from the substance. But, Dotzler said, the best way to spur medical marijuana legislation along is the public sharing of personal stories by post to local legislators, telling their story. This is how we're going to win this movement, he said. Medical marijuana could be sold in pharmacies under bill approved by Michigan Senate, from MichiganLive.com. Republicans in the Michigan Senate on Wednesday approved a measure seeking to create a pharmaceutical-grade cannabis registry that would run alongside, but not replace, the patient caregiver medical marijuana model approved by voters in 2008. Senate Bill 660, introduced by State Senator Roger Kahn, Republican of Saginaw Township, is entirely dependent on the federal government reclassifying marijuana as a Schedule II drug, similar to OxyContin or Percocet. Without federal approval, the new system would exist only on paper. Individuals certified to use medical marijuana would have to give up their old cards if they want to qualify for the new registry and would no longer be allowed to grow their own plants. State marijuana stores could be open by May or June, from Columbian.com. Neighborhood marijuana stores could open across Washington State as early as May or June, according to state officials, who on Monday will launch the licensing process to legalize pot growers, processors, and sellers in response to voter-approved Initiative 502, which passed last November. A lottery that kicks in after the application window closes will decide which applicants will be allowed to sell pot if the state receives more than 334 applications statewide. This has been your 420 Radio News for Wednesday, November 13th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we go behind the headlines of a new Huffington Post YouGov poll on employment rights for marijuana smokers in the two legal marijuana states. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back. Tokers and Tokettes, Radical Russ here to introduce you to my friend Matt and all the staff at Lush LED Lighting. Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED Lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. If you thought LEDs were... meet the tech of today. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Let's just say I appear at a lot of events with the masters of indoor horticulture, and the harvests I saw from Lush LED Lighting were big, tight, sticky, and very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Double your rewards and lower your expenses with Lush LED Lighting.
I'm a reefer smoking man.
Woodpipe Smoke Shop and Speakeasy is your source for cannabis community gear in southern Wisconsin. Owners Brian and Tammy Wood are located in Kendall, just outside of Madison, and they've got everything for the smoking enthusiast, including a full assortment of pipes, water pipes, hookahs, bubblers, one-hitters, and so much more. They're open noon to 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday and can help you with your detoxification therapies as well. Call 608-466-7473 or email woodpipes@yahoo.com for more information. That's 608-466-7473 or email woodpipes@yahoo.com. And as always, go Pack Go! Connect with 420radio.org through social media, on Twitter at 420radio.org, and our Facebook page at 420radio.org. Follow us and like us today. You'll be glad you did. Welcome back, everybody. 15 after the hour, and today we go behind the headlines, taking a look at a new poll that came up on Huffington Post, where we find smoking pot in a legal state
should not cost you your job. I'm so excited about this news. By a 3-to-1 margin, Americans polled recently by Huffington Post and YouGov stated that the use of marijuana by adults in a state where marijuana is legal should not be a basis for firing an employee. Almost 2/3 of the poll respondents, about 64%, found it unacceptable to fire a marijuana user solely for after-hours pot smoking. Those who found it acceptable numbered only 22%, with 14% in the not sure category. Thus, for every person who thinks it's okay to fire a pot smoker, there are nearly 3 who find it unacceptable. And even when the qualifier of in a legal marijuana state is removed from the question of whether or not it's acceptable to fire people for their off-the-clock pot use, more people found it unacceptable than acceptable. A plurality of 45% said the cannabis consumers should be able to keep their jobs even if marijuana use is illegal, compared to 32% who think it's okay to fire a pot smoker in a prohibition state, and another 23% who were not sure. Now, if you look into the demographics of this, the poll results for firing pot smokers in the illegal states flips if you just look at Republican respondents. A plurality of Republicans, 41%, would allow the firing of cannabis consumers, with less than a third, 32%, who would protect pot smokers' jobs. However, when pollsters add in the in a legal marijuana state, even Republicans are against the termination of workers for their legal marijuana use at nearly the same margins as the general population. Fully 62% of Republicans would find it unacceptable to fire a toker in Washington or Colorado or any state that legalizes, with just over a quarter, 27%, who support firing employees for their off-hours legal pot use. Now, if you break this down by age groups, every demographic found majorities in support of protecting employment rights for cannabis consumers in legal states. With middle-aged people, age 45 to 64, their support was at a 4-to-1 margin, 73% finding firing pot smokers for off-the-clock use was unacceptable versus 18% who didn't find it unacceptable. Now, the poll also asked whether people should be fired for their after-hours use of alcohol. And guess what? It came in at the same number. 64% of the people said you shouldn't be able to fire a drinker for off-hours drinking, compared to 22% who said it was okay to. So if the numbers for marijuana smoking and for alcohol drinking are the same if you're in a legal state, doesn't that show us that all this time we've been doing this drug testing and firing employees and not hiring employees because they fail a drug test for marijuana was really more about cultural acceptability and legality than it ever was about workplace safety and productivity? It seems pretty clear to me, and I want to applaud the people of America for coming to their senses on this and realizing that even in an illegal state, what a person is doing after hours is none ya. It's none of an employer's business what we're doing after hours, so long as we show up to work sober, work hard, be productive, be good employees, follow our responsibilities. And then if we go home at night and want to drink a six-pack of beer or load up a bowl, that's our right. And so long as it's not harming anyone in the workplace, we should be able to keep our jobs. This is amazing to me, and soon enough, we'll bring everyone around to this opinion that people should be left alone and allowed to do what they do in the privacy of their own homes. Their time off hours is up to them. Thank you, America. Thank you, Huffington Post, for this amazing poll. And this should just provide even more pressure against the employers in Colorado and Washington State, Seattle Seahawks, Denver Broncos, I'm looking at you, for firing their employees that use pot off hours legally in those states. All right, speaking of using pot, hey, it's 20 after. Time for us to take a break. I hope you get to enjoy some. When we come back, we'll have our Daily Toker Tunes with Gordon Green. Stick around.
Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, home of the famous lighter leash. Herb Age Designs, get your Herb Age t-shirts and hoodies and show your pride. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs. We've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter. We'll see you at this year's Hemp Fest. Crank it up.
Даня Данько. Я редактор журнала High Times. Отвечаю за отдел культивации, или проще говоря, выращивания. Приглашаем вас в Амстердам с 24 по 28 ноября, чтобы посетить ежегодный турнир Cannabis Cup, уже 26-й по счету. Там мы сравним множество видов марихуаны и гашиша из межных кофешопов. Еще у нас там выставка товаров, семинары по выращиванию, ночные концерты и вручение премии за лучшие в мире сорта марихуаны. Хотите получить 10% скидку со стоимости билета? Используйте промокод Данько на сайте cannabiscup.com. Ждем вас!
If you're an adult who enjoys a good beer, there's a similar product you might want to know about. One without all the calories and serious health problems. Less toxic so it doesn't cause hangovers or overdose deaths, and it's not linked to violence or reckless behavior. Marijuana. Less harmful than alcohol, and time to treat it that way. For more information, visit marijuanaissafer.org.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Irie Wednesday, featuring reggae, ska, and other world music genres. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tune.
Yes, yes, we had some confusion with our Daily Toker Tunes the last couple of weeks, trying to get things in touch with Gordon Green out there in Spain. But last week we were supposed to play this Peter Tosh tune, and so this week we're going to bring it to you. This is 400 years, and we got an intro here from Gordon.
Hey, Russ. Gordon Green with you back on another Irie Wednesday. Glad you're home, safe and sound. Don't know what happened last week with the track, but thanks for giving it another shot this week. This week's track is 400 Years, written and sung by Peter Tosh, but it's actually a Wailers tune. It can be found on the first album that they released outside of Jamaica. Happened in December 1978. The album is Soul Rebels. It's full of great cuts, including Soul Rebel, No Sympathy, Cornerstone, which Bob refashioned several times over his career, is on that album. But this track is probably the strongest. It's definitely my favorite. This is 400 Years by, actually written and sung by Peter Tosh. And people into the Wailers know that he was the more militant of between the three guys. Bob Marley was more peace and love, and Peter was ready to pick up the gun and go. And he even had an electric guitar that was a replica of a machine gun you can find in some pictures of his old gigs. And anyway, it's a great track from the album Soul Rebels. And this is 400 Years, written by Peter Tosh. Rest in peace, man. And you're hearing it right here on Ivory Wednesdays, the Russ Belville Show.
Desde la revista High Times, te invitamos a venir a Amsterdam desde el 24 al 28 de noviembre al 26 aniversario de nuestro Cannabis Cup, donde demostraremos las muchas variedades de marihuana y hachís en los coffee shops. También tendremos una exposición de productos, seminarios de sembradíos, conciertos en las noches y una ceremonia de premios donde honramos la mejor marihuana del mundo. ¡Vámonos!
Marijuana and alcohol are the two most popular recreational drugs in America. Marijuana smoking is non-toxic, relatively safe, and has a low risk of dependence. Alcohol drinking is potentially fatal, dangerous to society, and is quite addictive. Marijuana is safer, so why are we driving people to drink? That's the question of the new book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? By Paul Armentano, Mason Tvert, and Steve Fox. Visit Amazon.com or ChelseaGreen.com today to order your copy of Marijuana is Safer, or visit MarijuanaIsSafer.com.
Fun, fun, fun.
Hello, I'm Big Daddy, and I want you to join me at the Funky Roller Ring. We're partying hard over here, baby. So stop on by, check out the funky grooves, and shake your booty too.
Don't get in the two-seat, brother. Don't get in the two-seat. Don't get some, you can't move about. Don't get in the
Activism begins with ACT. The Russ Belleville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is 34 after the hour, and we are joined on the telephone by Charmy Golson in Michigan. Charmy, how you doing?
I'm well, Russ. Thanks for having me on. How are you doing?
I'm great. And I want to make sure I get the name of your group correct. Is it Michigan Moms United to End the Drug War?
It's just Michigan Moms United, and the conversation that we're about to have will tell you why.
Okay. So Michigan Moms United, and, you know, this is CPS week here on 420 Radio's Russ Belleville Show, because I've heard so many of these stories from you and Sarah and all the people that are going to be guests this week, and I just, the bigger this story gets, the more I think we need to give it attention. We were brought to your attention by the story of Bree out there in Michigan. Can you give us an update on that story and maybe clue in our listeners who might not have followed it as to what happened?
I sure can, Russ. First of all, thank you for your attention to this issue. Thank you, because, you know, I'm finding that the media is happy to highlight catastrophes of a white, middle-class, suburban family with a beautiful white little baby. But as we all know, the drug war has really impacted communities of color for decades in ways that white folks are just now beginning to understand. And the media, it's just really difficult to get some of the larger issues of child protective services covered in the media. So Stephen Maria Green runs THS Michigan, Human Solution Michigan, and they're... Joe Grumbine started it out in California. I'm sure you've spoken to him. You guys are familiar with his services out there. They do what I call cannabis court crusaders, and they provide court support for folks who are charged with marijuana crimes, not only medical marijuana, but any sort of marijuana crimes. Their tagline is no one should go to jail for a plant. So Stephen Maria opened and started the Michigan chapter of THS and started providing court support to folks. They are a blended family. So they each come to their marriage with a few kids, and then they had the little baby, Bree. And they were very, very active, well-loved community members before the CPS encounters began. So, you know, Jim Garrock, former Chicago prosecutor and leak speaker Jim Garrock has held her when he's been to Michigan doing presentations for me. Lots of legislators have. And Maria is a domestic violence survivor, and so her ex-husband has continued to abuse her through the very willing criminal justice system and family courts. And he filed a complaint with CPS saying they were drug dealers because they were growing medical marijuana, licensed through the state of Michigan. They were being charged with manufacturing, a felony manufacturing charge, out of Oakland County, which is one of the single most hostile places to medical marijuana in our state. As in all states, there's a patchwork of enforcement. We have 83 counties, and certainly some counties are more hostile, more prohibitionist styled than others. And where I live in Washtenaw County in Ann Arbor, for instance, it's, you know, who cares? To be quite honest.
Exactly.
But in Oakland County, they target, you know, systematically, they target medical marijuana. They try to get test cases to work up through the courts, so they can remove protections provided in the Medical Marijuana Act. So they filed these felony manufacturing charges against Maria and Steve for their garden. And when Maria's ex found out about this, he filed a complaint with Child Protective Services about Bree. Now, when the workers came to their home, they wanted to gain entrance to their garden, to the medical marijuana grow, and they said, sorry, can't do that. It's illegal. Only the caregiver is allowed in there. And this is a point that's been raised again and again in Michigan courts and used to prosecute people. Oh, you let somebody in your garden? You're not supposed to do that.
Right.
So they told the state of Michigan, you cannot enter our garden. Now, this is the funny thing about CPS, Child Protective Services. They retaliate. When you tell them no, even when it's your legal right to tell them no, they retaliate. Like children having a tantrum because they didn't get their way. But they're not children having a tantrum. They're agents of the government with guns and badges and warrants.
And let's make clear about Michigan's Medical Marijuana Act, because when they allow the growing of plants in the home, it's pretty strict about an enclosed, locked area. It's not like the kids are wandering around in the garden, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes, that's part of our law, that we can caregive, we can have our home grows, and we can, you know, we can provide, oh, goodness, now I'm sorry, I have 2 4-month-old giant puppies. Taking it aside, honey. We're doing it. Sorry about that.
We're pro-puppy. It's okay.
You're pro-puppy?
Yeah.
Good. Maybe you can send me some underwear and shoes. I'd really appreciate it. So when Steve and Maria Green went into an Ingham County family courtroom on September 13th to face a warrant to allow CPS into their medical marijuana grow, they discovered that had changed to immediate removal of the child for her own good, because there were allegations that there was marijuana being smoked in the house. And because, you know, somebody might break in to try to steal the marijuana, and that posed an immediate and imminent risk and danger to the child.
Right. So but having art in your home or jewelry or cash, that's not a danger, right?
Well, that's, you know, it's so funny. That's the go-to place. Everyone that I tell the story to, that's what they say to me. Like, wait, they're confused. And the beautiful thing, though, Russ, is that the reporters, the media, and I'll get to that, the media that we got was just, the reporters were great. They were like, wait a minute, why are they doing this? So within 3 hours of this hearing, the referee agreed. He's like, yep, get her. Take her out of there. So within 3 hours, they came and took Bree out of the home. And the Greens were brilliant. I have looked for folks like Steve and Maria Green for a long time. I've been doing raid response for a long time and trying to publicize how the drug task forces need oversight about civil asset forfeiture, about the abuses of the narcotics squads, about these situations with Child Protective Services. Because after 3 years, I have a pretty big database of what the heck is wrong in Michigan. But, you know, you've got to have the perfect formula, Russ. You've got to have families who will not take a plea bargain, who know that they should never have been filed, that their child should have never been taken from them. They should have never had charges filed against them. They've got to be articulate and have enough of an ability to present in the media well, because most of these people have PTSD. All of them are completely freaked out. And they can't, you know, it's really hard to put some folks, you know, in front of a camera who start screaming about the freaking cops. You just can't do it. So they kept up talking to the media. We released the video of when they came to take Bree to the media, and we held a press conference on the 17th, the following Tuesday, right outside the Department of Human Services, and we sang songs. I had women in suits holding hands, singing songs outside. We had the empty stroller there with the pictures. I had the legislators and the elite speakers who had held Bree come and talk and just demand that they stop stealing children and return this baby to her parents and immediately acknowledge and adhere to the Medical Marijuana Act. We have protections written right into that act that says you can't arrest us, you can't prosecute us, you can't take our stuff, you can't fire us, you can't kick us out of our housing, and you can't take our kids. It's very clear.
And I'm wondering, Charmy, why, because I've read the Michigan Act, and I've seen that same line of protection, and it's something that was added to the later states because, you know, the first few states out west never thought of that and got bit by it, and so the later activists said, oh, well, let's make sure we put child, you know, custody in here. So how in the hell are they getting away with this in these cases when you've got such a clear protection?
Well, you know, this is, like I said initially, this is traditionally, they prey on people of color and poor communities who don't and can't fight back. And it's big business to take babies and foster them out. Lots and lots of money. And it's an entrenched system. It's just like the drug war. I can't believe the stuff I found out about CPS since we started this. It's just like the drug war. It's the tentacles, the ways that it's just really reached into society. There's so many ways.
Okay, I want to talk about that incentive thing. We'll put that in the second segment here. We got about 3 minutes left in this segment. Let's wrap up the Bree case. How are things now for their family?
Things are good. They did take Bree. We released that video to the media. We did a media blitz for about the next month, and we made it very clear that they were not going to take a plea bargain. Prosecutors worked very hard to avoid going to trial, because then the public and the jury can see their actions, and they worked very, very hard. So they dismissed all charges in Oakland County against them after they made Steve, an epilepsy patient with grand mal seizures, stop taking his medical marijuana for 10 months.
10 months?
So, yeah, 10 months.
Wow.
He had seizures, he had scars on his face. They're monsters. So after doing all that, they dismissed all charges, and then when we were in Denver, the Friday we were in Denver, Bree was returned home because they realized they had to save face. They didn't want to go to trial. And they realized that they hadn't offered services to the Greens. They just took their baby, yanked her. Now, we'll offer you some services. They did not waive their right to a jury trial, and they're going to have someone in the home for the next month. People are coming by that, you know, they're being observed to make sure they're good freaking parents. But Bree came home, and we've started a Free Bree Foundation because Russ, Michigan is one of the largest foster care systems in Michigan. The things that I've learned from this piece with medical marijuana are very difficult to stomach. I'll tell you about it, and I realize we're running out of time, but there was a lawsuit filed against CPS by the Children's Welfare Rights folks in 2006 that said, okay, people are dying. These children are dying in your system, and it's failing on every level, and you've got to change it. And that was actually in 2008. Nothing's changed. There are 19,000 children in Michigan's foster care system. And I'll read some of these cases to you. It's hard to believe that this has been going on for so long and nobody's done anything about it.
This is we're speaking, of course, with Charmy Golson from Michigan Moms United. Before we break for a commercial here, and we'll come back and talk some more, but give some folks some contact information so if they want to learn more about this issue, they can get in touch with you or Michigan Moms.
Oh, absolutely. My email is okisay@yahoo.com. It's okisay@yahoo.com, and I just can't let go of it. It should be Michigan Moms United or something like that, but I love it so much. And my number is 734-620-7277. So anybody that can offer some help, you know, because, you know, we're trying to shake this loose here and reform an entire, like I said, entrenched system of abuse through the child welfare.
Yeah, you know, people ask me sometimes, you know, gosh, Russ, once marijuana is legalized, what are you going to do? This is one of those issues where, like you said, it's entrenched like the drug war. There's perverse incentives involved. And when we come back from break, we're going to talk with Charmy and take a look in this deep underbelly of CPS and why there's profit in breaking up families, especially poor black ones. Hey, stick around. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Just to rise up to the skies. What is it to live and die?
I'm Sub Cool from Team Green Avenger. At TGAGenetics.com, we are working on the leading edge of medical strains. Our strains are rigorously tested for THC, CBD, THCV, and other critical cannabinoids. Know your grow. Check out our genetic diversity at TGAGenetics.com, the home of Jelly Bean, Jack the Ripper, Vortex, and other award-winning cannabis strains.
Hey, Jill, how are you? Everything's absolutely amazing. I haven't seen you for ages. I haven't seen you last week. I mean,
you're not invited.
I know you. What's your name?
Oh, don't tell me. Don't tell me. I'll make
it. What are you laughing at? A little bit stressed, a little bit panicky. You look a bit panicky, a little bit scared.
What's your name?
The more you mess with cannabis, the more it can mess with your mind. To find out more, talk to Frank.
What makes something funny? How does humor impact health and psychological well-being? How can you incorporate humor into everyday life? A concise, reader-friendly introduction to an important but often underappreciated topic in modern psychology, Humor 101 explains the role of comedy, jokes, and wit in the sciences and discusses why they are so important to understand. Psychology professor Dr. Mitch Earlywine draws from his personal experiences in stand-up comedy to focus on how humor can regulate emotion, reduce anxiety, and diffuse tense situations, expose pretensions, build personal relationships, and much more. He irreverently debunks the pseudoscience on the topic of humor and leaves readers not only funnier, but better informed. It's part of the Psych 101 series from Springer Publishing, Humor 101 by Dr. Mitch Earlywine, Ph.D.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
The Russ Belville Show reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while. Share.
Welcome back, everybody. 10 minutes till, and we've got Charmy Golson still on the line from Michigan Moms United, and we're talking about child protective services. And while medical marijuana-using patients and marijuana-using patients, parents for that matter, have gotten our attention to this issue of child protective services, when you start taking a look at it, it's the same kind of perverse profit incentives involved in snatching kids as there are in locking up potheads. So, Charmy, welcome back to the show, and let's talk a little bit about that.
Thanks, Russ. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Just, you know, the few cases that involve medical marijuana patients and caregivers who should never have had a case opened on them in Michigan, it's really opened my eyes to the larger abuses throughout this entire system. You know, use of, like things like use of psychotropic drugs in foster care. Like, they drug these children like you would not believe. In fact, the U.S. Government Accountability Office released a report in 2012, or either 2011 or 2012, and it said that 35% of foster kids were prescribed some type of psychotropic drug compared to just 10% of other children.
Wow, one out of three.
And a lot of those were not even, they exceeded FDA approval levels for age and dosage. So they're using them as test cases for all these drugs that they're kicking out as well.
And let's not forget that a lot of these psychotropic medications are, well, none of them are tested on kids. There's ethical things that they can't, you know, there's a whole scientific system behind that for why that's the case. But a lot of drugs, most drugs that are end up prescribed for kids, they've been tested and FDA approved for adults, but not a lot of testing on kids.
No, and with good cause. I can't swear on your show.
Oh, sure you can. We got no FCC here.
I'm having a hard time not spitting and sweating. I should take Valium before I talk about this. it's just so horrific. You know, in August of 2006, Children's Rights filed a class action lawsuit in federal court against the foster care system in the state of Michigan. And here's what they said. The complaint alleged the state violated the constitutional, federal statutory, and federal common law rights of children in foster care by failing to move them quickly into safe, stable, permanent homes, either through reunification with their birth families or adoption, failing to provide with adequate medical, dental, mental health care, failing to provide safe and stable foster homes, and failing to prepare children who, like, age out of the foster care system to live independently as adults. And that pretty much covers the whole gamut of what these schools are supposed to be doing anyway. Mm-hmm. And they're failing on every level. Like I said, we have 19,000 children in our foster care system in Michigan. It's one of the largest.
Can you tell us how the profit motive kicks in here, especially with respect to, I know there's some federal grants that get involved in this as well.
There certainly are. And Marie was talking about this yesterday. She said the price tag on a white baby in Michigan is about $60,000 if they can get a healthy white baby away from its parents. And they get all kinds of funding. There's lots and lots of money involved. And her baby, I don't know if you've seen the pictures of Bree, the whole Free Bree campaign had a sweet little face plastered all over the place. But on her first supervised visit after they took Bree, she was, you know, playing with her baby, and she said another worker walked by the cubicle and said, "Oh, you got a cute one."
Wow.
Really?
Wow.
Said that to the other worker. "Oh, you got a cute one." Score! Like they high-fived each other, basically. And you're absolutely right. There is a profit motive involved. You know, my question is, why is there so little attention to this issue? There were five children that compelled Children's Rights to file the lawsuit. And I'll just tell you one of these stories. Elizabeth, 14 days old, suffered a brutal physical attack in her home, leaving her with a fractured skull, three fractured ribs, and a fractured clavicle. Elizabeth was made a ward of DHS, but was returned to her home, leaving a child placing agency contracted by DHS in charge of monitoring her. The agency failed to forward two reports to DHS with additional evidence of her abuse, including severe burns and two black eyes, until this baby was found beaten to death in her home. So you repeat that by tens of thousands of incidents.
Now, was this, she suffered at the hands of the foster parent?
This was not in the foster parent. She was returned to her home. She was returned to her original abusive family.
And
you know, they're yanking babies from medical marijuana patients instantly.
Right.
But they're letting these babies live in the homes where they're actually being abused.
Okay, I was trying to get the perspective here is that, yeah, exactly. The pot plant in the house, my God, let's get that kid out of there. But someone who's beaten and fracturing kids' skulls, that's not as much a danger. This is
exactly
insane.
And being in the courtroom was fascinating during this case because the judge was very clear that any medical marijuana use anywhere near the children was you know, abuse and neglect. That was the whole point of this. So, you know, my question is, how are we going to stop these activist judges who are acting out our attorney general? Our attorney general, Bill Schuette, is fought tooth and nail against our law, mm-hmm. and who are acting on the behalf of the prohibitionists, unless it's more lawsuits. We had our rally yesterday, and I had two women from Detroit get on a Greyhound bus and march and drive all the way to Lansing on a Greyhound bus to come and stand there in the freezing cold with us yesterday. because they heard about this. And this is outside of our medical marijuana community, right? Outside of the marijuana community. This is a real problem. And you know what? I think this is what I'm going to do next, too. 19,000 children here in Michigan.
Wow.
I couldn't sleep last night.
Well, yeah, it's just horrific to learn about these cases. And, you know, we've heard them, you know, not just in Michigan. Of course, there was the national headlines made in the Alexandria Hill case, I believe, out of Texas, I think it was.
Yeah.
And so we have, let's talk a little bit about how they're selecting these cases. I mean, you said that they were, in the case of medical marijuana, trying to target and select particular cases and how they target the poor and minorities and folks that might not be able to fight back. And does that apply? I guess that's going to apply outside of medical marijuana as well, just in general, right?
You know, one of the things about the prohibitionists who've been in power for so long is they're incredibly arrogant. They're so arrogant. They think, I was talking to Jack Cole about this there. He had this debate with this guy who just thought he was going to kick Jack's pants. He really did. And they're so arrogant. They don't think we are going to fight back. They really don't. I think that's a huge part of it. And they just, it's been a part of the system for so long. You know, I was going to call for a complete rewriting of the rules and so that, you know, hospital workers, for instance, in Michigan, when you get handed a medical marijuana card, you say, thank you, have a great life with your baby, and you leave that family the hell alone. But that's not happening in Oakland County and in other counties. It doesn't matter if you've got a card and you have THC in your system and the baby has it in their meconium. They're taking your kid. And if you're lucky, you've got an attorney that you can call, that'll call them up and read them the law and say, give that baby back. Which I know has happened again and again here in Michigan. It's this defense, this line of defense that is being carried by the criminal defense attorneys that give a crap about us and by the advocates and activists that whose hearts are breaking and they just can't stand to see it anymore. They are targeting medical marijuana patients and caregivers. And I think it's an effort to undermine the protections provided in the act. They don't want to see drug policy reform enacted. And I think they really think we're bad people. That's the other part of it. They really do. You know, of note, I know we're running out of time, but they did a hair follicle test on Bree, and it came back positive, right?
Right.
A hair follicle test. Well, positive, when we started digging, is 0.3 picograms of THC. Do you know what a picogram is?
Trillionth of a gram?
0.3 picograms equals a teaspoon of THC in 1,000 Olympic-sized swimming pools.
That's an interesting way to look at it. Yeah, I think it's trillionths of a gram, because nanograms is billionths, right? So I think pico is trillionths of a gram.
And these are some of the things the Greens are going to do. We're going to bring in a Michigan State University specialist that smashes atoms. The guy's from Germany. He's brilliant. We're going to bring him in to talk about picograms and challenge all of these idiotic, horrible things that they're trying to pass the science. This isn't science-driven data that they're taking children away from. Because as Dr. Carl Hart said at the convention, you know, there no test, no scientific data tells you that this cup of tea can tell you whether I'm a good parent or not.
That's right. Charmy, I'm afraid that's all the time we've got for this hour.
Oh,
but
no.
I thank you so much for sticking up for this and for everyone here at the Russ Belville Show. Thanks for joining us. We're going to hour two, and you can call in the second half hour if you like, Charmy. We'll talk about it some more, but we got to go now. Until next
thank
time,
you, Russ.
Take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
Take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it.